It's your girl, Jess B.
And it's your girl, Vina Nam.
And you are now locked in with us, the Anti-Socialites.
So turn up the volume and just chill out.
Because each and every week,
we're coming with that real talk.
Conversations with Miami's business owners, artists, behind-the-scenes nightclub professionals,
as well as social activists, community leaders, and aspiring artists.
Real talk from two cool chicks curating Miami's cultures, arts, and lifestyles.
Miami, baby, baby.
Cheers!
Cheers!
Salud!
Usually we do this at the end, but we started early.
Okay. Oh my god. This is a totally different way of starting off the podcast, but
hey.
I like this. New vibe.
So breaker.
I know. Icebreaker or vodka, alcoholic breaker, drink breaker. I don't know what to call it. But let's get started.
All right, so you already know you are tuned into the Anti-Socialites podcast. It's your girl, Jess B.
And it's your girl, Vina Nam.
And today we got Tams, the ultra uber creative man behind. Oh, you're not creative? You give me the
rebel.
Look.
he's looking like, what is this?
I'm anti-social.
No, but you own a creative design agency.
Yes.
You're making ultra moves. You're based in Miami, but you also have an office in
Vegas.
Tell us what made you come to Miami. Are you from here?
Oof, you really want to go there?
Yeah,
we want to start
there.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's go back a little bit.
Like, what's your background and how did you get here?
I came off a banana boat. No, I'm joking.
That's one of my favorite shows.
Background. Started. Okay, let's start. Born in Indonesia, raised in Indonesia, and then left Indonesia at 11 to New Zealand. Grew up in New Zealand a couple of years until they deport my ass.
Back to Indonesia.
They can't do shit because I was underage. I was like 14, not even 13 and a half. So, back home. And then finished middle school, so trying to get high school. Nobody want to accept me.
No country or no school?
School.
Okay.
Eventually end up in school, expelled twice or three times in high school. And finally graduated high school. Then I told my mom, 17, that I want to go to America.
How did she feel?
She said, how are you going to get there?
That's a good question.
Right?
What money you got to get you to America?
So I said, if I stay, I'm going to be in fucking trouble. Right? So I know that already. Mm-hmm. Which is a good thing to know. To know your state, to know where you're at, and to know what you're going to become. If I say, I got the ticket, I sold all my motorcycles. I got 3-4 of them. Sold them. I said, got the tickets, I'm out. So that's three key cities. LA, New York, and Miami. LA, my mom said no, because why the fuck you want to leave Indonesia to be with Indonesian again? Because LA is closed and a lot of Indonesians live there.
Heavily so, Asian populated.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so that's so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I said New York, she said, over my dead body, because she was in the 80s when
crime.
New York was fucking madness. She didn't realize that 90s is changing. But again, I said, all right, fine. Miami, because of the weather. I'm from an island, similar weather, fuck the weather. So, here we are, two suitcases and a blanket.
That's a slogan,
right.
A t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah!
You gotta put that in one of those t-shirts.
Brandon.
So you get to Miami, you already knew the weather.
Get to Miami.
Great.
11 o'clock, 11:30 at night, I forgot what airlines. Don't even know what the fuck I'm getting into. Clueless. Broken English, still, but same. That's it. That's how it all started.
Okay, but where did the creative agencies, like, what odd, did you do any odd jobs when you got here?
No.
No odd jobs.
You know why? Well, I did.
What'd you do? What's your first job?
So I went to, I applied the Art Institute of Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
So I went there, got through that first 2 years for the associate degrees. I did airbrushing t-shirts. That was the shit.
Okay. That, well, on the beach, like on the boardwalk?
No,
oh.
in my little place.
Oh, okay.
So,
airbrush
t-shirt, right? Come on, everybody got to do it.
Yeah, about four. Still.
See? That's the classic shit. Martin Echo, all those eras, right? That's so awesome. And then, haircut, fade heads. And then, a little graphics jobs here and there and whatever. But, and then one time I called my mom and said, well, I ain't got no fucking money. Mom said, go work at Burger King. I said, never gonna fucking happen. The reason I think is very good to know and to rewind or whatever is that I know what the fuck I want, right? Just because I need papers doesn't mean I wanna settle by going out on my path. I think to know that shit early, to, again, is important.
So
you already knew what your path was before you left Indonesia, or when you got
there?
Yeah,
I did.
And it had to do with art
and graphics.
I want to be the greatest designer ever. I wrote that shit on a piece of paper.
Ooh, like in the encyclopedia? Well, they don't exist anymore, but we'll
come. No, I wrote it down. You know, I don't know fucking computers and none of that shit. So I wrote it down, and I think that has been, you when you have something, I think you should write it down. And that moment when you write shit down, I think it's embedded, whether it is mentally or whatever, nothing is a good thing. So I wrote it down, mom said, work at Burger King, it's never gonna fucking happen. I'll continue doing my own shit. So I stick through it, and then that's the first phase.
So graduating after the Art Institute of Fort Lauderdale, do you phase into having your own business, or do you sign with an agency?
Mm-hmm, not there yet.
Okay.
Shit. Starting this is going to get better.
Yeah.
I want to hear it.
Yeah.
We got some time.
All right, so.
So is it all about you?
No, it's not. graduate associate degrees. And I said, Mom, graduate. I'm done. She said, no, you're not. I need a bachelor's degree. I said, get the fuck out of here, right? Eventually, you gotta make my mom's happy and shit like that. Nobody wear a fucking hat in the family. She wanted to see me with a hat on. Da, 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 da. I say, all right, good boys. So I'm doing that. So graduated bachelor's degree,
mm-hmm.
finally.
From?
Art Institute.
Okay.
And I did that shit in 3 years and 2 months.
Okay.
Bachelor. There was 2 quarters, I took 10 classes. Back to back to back. With the mentality being that I gotta finish quicker so I could make more money quicker,
yeah.
Right? So there's some heads who take 3 classes a quarter and shit. There's a head you just take one fucking and just ride it, right? Me, he said, nah. Fuck that, let's bring it all in.
Yeah.
So to me, again, I want to keep going and I want to get there faster, so fuck it, let's go, bring it on. So I did that 2 quarters, so speed my process up, graduate with best portfolio, that's awesome too and whatever. And then looking for a job. And there's an interview, whatever, I call the people, which is ETSA, the top 5, I think, then in the world for landscape architect,
urban development
and planner and
yeah.
whatever bullshit. I hit him up. The guy is John Gabino, and I say, he asked me, "Are you good?" Over the phone. I say, "I'm the fucking best."
Did you say those words exactly?
Yes.
Okay,
I believe you.
I just want to make sure.
Yes.
This is early TAM, not right now.
Exactly. Which hasn't changed, thank God. Right? So I didn't conform. I'm antisocial. I said, I'm the fucking best, right? And then, awesome. When can you start? Fucking yesterday, let's go.
Yeah.
So I'm hired, which is awesome, right? And I served them very well for 7.5 years.
Put it to work.
Yeah. I work on Atlantis. I did the branding for Ocean Club. I work on Atlantis Dubai. I work on El San Juan Resort and Casino, the identities. I work a couple of projects in China. So I learn a lot on the corporate side, right? I learn clocking in at 8:30, leaving at 5:30, all that fucking shit. And within the third year, they said, okay, we're gonna give you H-1B visa. Because
you were still
I'm a student, right?
Yeah, you're still a student.
Yeah.
Visa.
Wow.
So that's they sponsored me to get my employment visa.
Yeah.
But in return, I'm gonna serve them, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is. So I did serve them. They're great people, great company. It was 170 people back then. And then during the same time, I got my work visa. My wife then got hit with breast cancer. So I did all the shit you got. You could work, you take care of wifey, da 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 da. And they always been there, they always been supportive, you know, thank God, went to John Hopkins Hospital and shit, all that bullshit. So, 7 years, I also, during that time, after I finished around 5:30, I come home, and by 7, I'm back on the computer learning, I'm back grinding, I'm back hustling, and like my second shit, right?
I was gonna ask you, because with graphics and art and all that, I know technology evolves so much,
right?
Even within 1 to 2 years. How, what you, like you said, when you came home, you still had to go back and work and make sharpen your skills.
Yes.
Yeah. How was that? Because I mean, you already work at 8 to 5. You come home. You just said your wife got diagnosed.
Yeah.
Tell us. I know you're about to tell us, but how hard was that? Or was it just like your mentality was just there?
Strife. It goes back to that fucking wording and papers, going back to leaving the fucking country. It goes back to that decision, that solid decision. That is the key.
I was going to say, so we can say that's the key to your success thus
yeah.
far.
You check yourself, you decide, and you stick through it.
Okay.
What space were you in when you were working the 9 to 5? Was it a happy space, or was it just a robotic feel?
I never changed.
Okay.
So there's a moment when I smashed a fucking computer in the office. There's a moment I scream. There's a moment.
Did you get a fine for these things?
I think.
Okay, why don't you check? You didn't notice?
No. The HR department, the people there, they see my all this bullshit or whatever you call it. My true me, my ingenuity or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then, okay, that's terms. Mm. I don't front, you feel me? So I think that's also good. That, okay, whatever, and keep going, whatever, keep going. So, I mean, those are the people I have to thank for, because they really do see me as me, which is important, right? So it's not a drag, because you come out of school, you're learning, you see great people there, and then you also hustle on the side,
yeah.
So.
So you said you go to a 9 to 5 and then you hustle on the side. So many people feel like they need to let their 9 to 5 go and just go all in. You feel like, or you would agree, that you can have the 9 to 5, but you got to put in that extra work to make it as well.
You have to go all in. I went all in on the 9 to 5, and I went all in on my own shit.
So it's double. It's double.
I'm 200 miles. I'm 200.
Mm-hmm. Not just 100%.
You know, it has to come from within. It's how hungry you are. You don't want to settle. There's always more. I think that, either you have it, either you're hungry or not. So the learning, going back to the learning, I call home, I learn. Came out, didn't know no computer. Pick up a fucking book. I bought us before they go bankrupt. Study that
TV
fucking books.
Yeah.
Tutorials, all that shit. All. Non-stop.
So you felt like it prepared you to go to the next level. So you're in your 3-year mark with them.
Yeah.
They have you do a contract, so you have your work visa with them. Then 3 to 7 year mark, when did you get the idea to open up your own agency?
My own agency, again, is not really an agency because it's just me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So between the 3 to 7, I do photo shoot. I start as photographer.
Okay.
And then design, identity, logo, any fucking thing just to get myself out there and just
mm-hmm.
hustle. I mean, I did flyers for clubs. I did all of that shit and still do the 9-to-5. And then through my photography show, I met Dave Grubman.
Okay.
That motherfucker was still at Tantra. Manager at Tantra. He saw me. He sees something. And then we talk shit. And then eventually, we revolutionized the whole industry in 2000 or 2001. Where whatever I had, whatever he see, we merged, we figured it out. It was at the Sagamore Hotel. And I think that benchmarked me to another level. But that's still keeping the 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not done yet.
Nah.
But your brand in itself got exposed to other people because
yes.
Grubman, his brand was also expanding.
No, it was still at Tantra.
He was a manager.
He was ideals. This is before him with opium.
Okay.
This is
yeah. This is Grubman before opium. This is Grubman at Tantra, fat boy. You know?
Hope he sees this.
I hope he hears it, but that's the truth. So somehow God put us together. I was at his house again. It was like 11, 12 o'clock at night. It's Grubman, Jeff Goldstein out of New York and whatever. I was on my blue face iMac. Those iMac with
the
blue pink
yeah.
shit in the
we
back.
Had those in high school.
Right.
We knew we were popping though.
Yeah,
like,
he said year 2000, right?
Yeah.
So
we were definitely, I was in
freshman or sophomore.
I was
okay.
sophomore.
So I went to work, whatever, I eat, go home, wife's sick, whatever shit, pick up that iMac,
mm-hmm.
go to his apartment, and work from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I pick up the computer because, again, the hunger.
Yeah.
So what were y'all doing exactly? Was it like coming up with club promotions or visuals or?
So this was when Flash, my Macromedia was introduced. So I managed to be able to use that technology to use for my photography and to present it in a way that nobody's seen it.
Oh, okay.
So Grubman sees something that is could be potentially be dope and shit like that on a nightlife, right? So we did a piece where a New Year's at Sagamore, it was Agent Brody and a couple of New York promoters and whatever, the best New Year's in Miami. And I think still that night was the best New Year's in Miami.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We were
yeah.
different.
No. Nah, you guys were in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that.
And then so because we're in Miami and we like to talk about the city, how did you embrace the different cultures in Miami?
Good question.
The beach. You know, you went to school in Fort Lauderdale, like, you're in the industry, but the actual city, like, how did you like it and adapt to it?
So many different cultures here.
That's a great question.
Was it?
I don't adapt.
I think because you remain yourself so much that I think people have to adapt to you, maybe?
No.
No?
I don't know. I don't think I adapt.
No.
I'm so focused in my shit that it doesn't fucking matter.
You don't see it.
You are. You know, I'm always still an outsider. I'm fucking Indonesian.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm part of the melting pot.
No, it's just interesting because even from me being from California, like, it was a shock to me. I'm thinking, I come down here and I'm used to being around a lot of Asians, a lot of Mexicans, a lot of black and white. But I come here and it's almost like you're either Caribbean
right.
or Spanish and that kind of rules or Jewish.
Yeah.
And so that's why I asked about adapting because then you're telling me you started working with nightlife.
Yeah.
and it's such a huge industry in Miami itself. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I was just curious to see, like, did you feel like you had to adapt at all to anything that the city had to offer?
Individually, I don't think I adapt to anything or any group or any clique or whatever. This is when Chris Jones and Khaled and everybody was just starting out. It was Arias baby, you know what I mean? It was all that shit. All of us were still baby trying to figure this shit out. Straight out. This is before nightlife become nightlife.
Irie's name has been brought up once again, which means he needs to do the podcast.
And with that being said, so talk about the transition from nightlife then to nightlife now. Because you're still working with some of the hottest clubs on the beach and some of the hottest hotels and things like that. What changes have you seen as far as the nightlife and entertainment?
So Grumman left Tantra.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know where was Tantra.
15 and Euclid, I think. Washington or whatever.
That's before our time, maybe.
It's a restaurant, bar, concept. We're still enjoying opium.
Okay.
So he's the marketing director for opium. We're talking about opium, Privé, Opium Garden.
Privé was dope.
Yeah. So he said, then I follow him and we just start banging out shit from Kanye before Kanye shit. You know, I did a piece. Then 2005, Mansion, MTV, VMA, I did Puff and Jay's pieces.
Okay.
You know, then OK Magazine, when this is when all the celeb media, whatever. So we did OK Magazine with Pamela Anderson and all. I'm involved in all of that creative pieces. Mm. So flyers, invite flyers, all of those. And just grind. Then opium, Privé, then that relationship opened up myself with my relationship in New York, where then I started Tao, no, before Tao, M80 in the Hamptons, and Tao, and all this Noah and Jay. Again, I think it all started from that little 136 Collins.
Mm.
And then Grumman left, Grumman go to Cameo, went to Cameo, then sat, just all that shit.
Right. Things really changed around that time.
But I'm part of that evolution, right? From Smack Entertainment, Mo, Conrad, Bill, Navin. Whew. We're all babies. That was amazing.
It sounds amazing.
I know.
Yeah.
Especially to say that you were a part of the beginning.
Yeah, I think
that.
So.
Yeah.
I think I play a role there. Certain people within that industry in that era still call me the golden child.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, as a matter of fact, I was with Grumman the other day, last night, two nights ago, doing Hot 100, and he still called me golden child.
I totally went to the movie, though. Like.
Yes.
I totally saw the movie, and I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
So. That was me with the bull hair. Oh my God, that was fun.
So, go ahead.
So, tell me about this phrase that I've seen around you. The future belongs to the content creators.
Yeah.
Emphasize on that.
So, knowing the future.
Mm-hmm.
We are content creators. You guys are content creators. Tito, all the teams here are all content creators. We hold the fucking key to the future. You know, podcasters, bloggers. I mean, before it was bloggers, right?
Yeah.
But now the medium changed into social media where everybody can do that and just start delivering content. To me, that's it. That's just the phrase. That's the only phrase.
I'm glad she brought that up because I wanted to know what makes great content to you? What's great content?
Authenticity, real shit. Unfluff. I think that makes great content. Unscripted, not edited. Because within the 2000 era, it was all fluff,
mm-hmm.
right? Story gets spit, makeup, arranged, production. This is before the fucking cell phones, before digital cameras. So you arrange all that shit, you shoot, and then you edit and whatever. Now it's all about spontaneous shit. So I think people understand which one is fluff and which one is real. maybe follow certain people and influencers, you see the real excel further and more than the flaws. I think real is real.
That is true. I mean, with social media, I think it is also a gift and a curse because people try to take other people's platforms, not platforms, but kind of guidelines or like blueprints. That's what I meant. So you'll see somebody blow up, whether they're media content, they're, you know, actors, whatever, and they'll think that all of a sudden that person just blew up. People may look at you and think, oh, he created an agency and he got big. But listening now to you talk, you've been putting in the work.
You didn't come out of nowhere.
Social media sometimes creates a facade that all of a sudden this person got big, when really, nah, I've been doing a lot of stuff to get me to this point.
Right. I mean, you have to put in that time. I mean, Malcolm Gladwell. If you don't spend 10,000 fucking hours, you're nobody, right?
Yes.
From now until then, I put in 10,000 fucking pieces. Mm. So add a couple of more hours, I'm already in 40,000 hours.
And it's not like you don't care. Like, that's just what you know. You got to charge us in the game.
It's passion, yeah. You do. You love what you do, you don't. You know? You guys are here in the rain and still traveling to certain people, trying to suck out of knowledge and see what they could flip you. I think that's hunger, that's passion. Doesn't matter the what's outside. Doesn't matter if it's raining or cold or whatever. You still get your shit done.
Yeah.
Speaking of passion, you say fuck talent, give me passion or nothing, okay? Vodka's passion. So you'll take a drunk intern or interviewee over someone that, I'm joking. But no, you said fuck talent, give me passion or give me nothing.
Yes.
So you're willing to train someone if they're not as skilled, if they have the passion and the drive, make sure that they want
to
be here.
I don't need to train anybody with passion. That's the difference.
Because they're already there to seek that knowledge when you're not looking.
If they have passion, you don't even train them. It's automatic.
That explains Tito's like perfectionist quality right there.
It's automatic.
Shout out to Tito.
It's so automatic. Just look at it. Anybody with passion is automatically internally driven.
So that's the main thing that you look for when building this agency or building a team?
Yes. Okay. Anybody could fucking have talent. I don't give a fuck.
The passion.
Passion goes a long way. Passion is when shit gets fucked up and you still go. Right?
Yeah.
That's passion. These motherfuckers is passionate. They shoot, they come back, they go out there, and what's next? What are they going to fucking do next? Talents won't say that. Talent shows.
Now I understand the quote a little bit more.
It makes a lot more sense.
And so we're here. This is a pretty, I know creative agencies are a little bit different. They're not like 9 to 5. They're not like suit and tie. This is a little unconventional. I've seen your Instagram and your Snap stories. You get pretty crazy. How important is it for people to be comfortable? Because you seem to be yourself at all times and you want to push or you present that. How do you...
No, I don't present that. That's just who the fuck I am.
Well, I mean, you're presenting it. That's what you're being.
Presented is package. Gotcha. I don't want a package. I mean, but on the real, I've seen many agencies. I've been in many agencies. I was in New York with 2 different agencies.
So you worked at agencies in New York as well?
No, I visited 2 agencies in New York last week. And it's nothing like us.
Okay.
You know, Miami agency, again, there's nothing like us. I would not change that. I don't like the bureaucracy, the fucking, oh my gosh.
The traditional corporate setting.
Cannot.
I think you said real, so you want everybody to be themselves and bring the real.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you guys different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because looking at your work and the stuff that you do for your clients, it's very, I'm not going to say unique because that's like cliche, but I can tell it's straight to the point.
Yeah.
Like there's no fluff.
Yeah.
And how you present yourself to your clients, do you find that some of them are a little shocked or like, okay, or scared maybe sometimes by some of your ideas?
I think they valued me. I was with a client the other day. You know why I signed the contract? Because you say no to me.
They told you no.
Yeah. No, I told them no.
Oh, they
don't do this. Many motherfuckers are yes man motherfuckers because they sign a check.
Uh-huh.
Yes man. Yes sir. Yes man. I go with whatever you say. He said, I signed your contract because you say no to me and you give me the reason. So that's another value.
Okay, so if somebody comes at you with what they want you to do for them and you're like, that's not me, no, I'm not doing it. You have no problem telling somebody no.
I have no problem telling somebody no, but it's a delicate issue on a certain level because we have clients that we got a service that they wants and needs a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be not their wants and needs, but what the brand needs.
Okay, that makes sense.
You got what I mean?
Yeah.
I get your needs, I get your want, but is it on brand? Mm-hmm. Are we serving the right shit, you know? To me, many clients, many meetings, many deals close because I said, I'm not here to work for you. I'm here to work for Antisocial. You and me gotta battle shit out for the sake of Antisocial, so let's fucking do it. That's me, the brand.
Okay.
Just because you come here and check, doesn't fucking matter.
Okay.
So what's the process like? Like, you get a brand, you analyze it, you do research, you immediately can see what it is that they need, or
yes,
you see what's missing.
I see what's needed. Fuck yeah, it's magic. I think that's to me that's the talent.
The talent portion.
No, that's the talent. That's the blessing. That's the gift from God. I think for me to just. Quick,
yeah.
And get it, right? Oh, let's do this. All right, like, how we and finish. Because again, in a creative, what flows right away, usually the right one.
Mm.
So when you analyze it and switch it and this, it become
something.
Right?
Yeah.
Something packaged.
But when it's instinct, intuition, it shows something else.
Got you.
We're getting juice.
Yeah.
Right. I'm learning a lot.
I'm curious though, because on the financial side, I'm not trying to get in your business, but
show me the money!
Jerk.
If somebody was to want to do what you do, not exactly, but I'm saying somebody,
don't do it.
If somebody aspired to open up their own creative agency or try to.
I see you on the battlefield.
How does passion outweigh your lack of finances? Like, is that building relationships more?
Rephrase the question.
If I have no money and I want to get some equipment so that I can start pushing out the shit that I'm thinking of, how do I do that?
I had no money. I have my Macintosh 6700 with 33.6 dial-in modem. Right? Dude, you talking about money right there.
Okay.
You know? But it doesn't matter. You still produce, you still create. First, you gotta do it for you. This motherfucker over here, right? He's shooting, he's tired, he's fucking working, whatever. And he's on the rooftop shooting a chick with a bat, ass naked.
Tito's in
there. Wait, what?
Hey, we're talking about Tito here.
No, but you get what I mean?
Okay.
Just the drive, it goes back to the drive.
If there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're going to figure it out somehow.
You will figure it out. It's that faith issue or whatever you want to call it, but that goes a long way.
Okay.
Listen, I have nothing to say. I totally feel that, but what's been your proudest or your proudest moment or biggest accomplishment thus far with your
being
agency
entrepreneur.
And your profession? Yeah. That you were.
I ain't no fucking We burn out awards, because awards ain't shit.
Yeah, you don't give a fuck about awards, right?
Right. No.
But any moment when you was like, oh, I'm really doing this, like...
I'm not doing it for the awards.
But no award, just a moment. A moment in time where you're like, I'm shooting this person, or I'm working on this deal, or I can't believe I fucking closed this deal.
No. Let me see.
Think about it.
No.
No moment where you're just like, aha, or...
Like, proud and happy
yeah.
and shit.
Excited.
No. I'm always excited to every shit that we got. I'm always excited. It's just another fucking layers, another piece, another 5 hours, another 20 hours, another 100 hours. Destination is not done, right? You're not fucking done. You continue to evolve. You continue getting better clients. You continue getting better talent. You continue getting new people. I'm not there yet. I'm going to be 40. So I got a long way to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not complacent. You're going to keep going.
Go back to Prussia.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any mentors? Is there anybody that you looked up to?
The last 3 years. Everybody that I work with somehow is an iron mentor to me. I suck a lot from my clients because I understand their business. I understand everything. I'm probably going to learn from you guys as well that subliminally somehow is here in the back of my head. So, but recently I value certain people a little bit more because I seen the other side of them, and I didn't put them as a mentor, but I valued them and their opinion.
Okay.
Because that's the area that I'm not familiar with or whatever, and I'm learning, and I respect them for being majors in their world.
In their field.
Yeah.
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 No, that's dope, and I think, you know, if anybody's listening, I think what they got from it, aside from passion, because we know that's a big word, is that you have to do it for yourself always. And when you know what yourself wants, then you're never going to stop and never be like, oh, I did this, check the box, I'm done. Yeah. Keep going.
There's no award. You keep growing every day. There's a lesson. I think another thing that we learned is that you have to go with your gut feeling. And
yes.
An instinct, because I think that's what's the realness,
yeah.
Is that if this was your initial thought and your initial plan, and you don't want to change it for someone else or for somebody else's ideas that aren't yours.
Unless you serve a person. You serve a vision, that's mean you got to give up your vision for their vision.
Balance.
If you serve your own individuality, your own brand, than that, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm here, I'm serving the client, right? So, as long as you still serve with that serve mentality, give instead of take, you're gonna take a lot of shit in the end because of the shit you put out, not the shit you take. I think that's what I get out of it.
Tell us about the Emigrate shirts.
It's Sunday, 3 o'clock. This Trump immigration, blah, 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 blah. Oh, look at the words. But in 5 minutes, done.
Oh, so it was just like...
This is a shirt, instead of immigrant, it's immigrate, which I think is awesome. Because with all that's going on right
immigrate.
Now...
That says immigrant.
You're blind.
I am, but there ain't no E at the end.
E-A-T.
I'm reading it as immigrant.
Fight.
A-N-T.
Where you see that at?
You see the E-A-T?
Oh, ooh. I got my glasses on.
You
okay.
See?
Immigrate. Okay. So, okay. Makes sense now. My bad.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm tripping.
Yeah.
Cause I got on my bad contacts.
That's right, your tequila eyes.
I'm like, oh my god. It's okay. We all have these moments, man.
Yeah. So that was your concept.
Well, I mean, watching the fucking TV on a Sunday, nobody's at home. I look at the words. Like, oh, that's a play.
Yeah.
Fucking do it, dumb.
I think that's dope. I think more people need to see that.
Like quick shit, right?
Can I get one of them shirts?
Yeah, you can have it.
Okay. Tito,
right?
I need that shirt. Okay.
One.
Well,
we
see the creation, and we see bigger things for you. What's next? What's something that you want to tackle that you haven't tackled yet?
Like a lane, maybe.
An industry.
Yeah.
You don't get into the political industry.
We did.
Okay.
That was stupid. I want to build a village.
Where though?
I have no fucking idea.
A village of working or a village of like residential and work?
A village for people in need.
Okay.
I want to build a village.
What would make you, because you wrote it down, the greatest artist? What would solidify that for you?
That I did it my way.
All the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
So in the books, everything that he did, he never
Tam's
sold himself. It was Tam's way.
I mean, it goes back to your fucking name. Antisocial.
Lights.
Lights.
Don't forget the lights part.
Okay. Antisocial.
Lights.
And then lights. So... it's you fighting whatever it is, whether it is the world, whether it is a company, whatever. Do not give in. That's the antisocial. But because of your specialty, you bring in the lights in that fucking world. Bam!
He just gave us some free game.
Drop the jewels.
Yo! Ooh-wee!
I can't.
Huh?
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm gonna write this down. Tito, are you writing?
Yo! That's... I think that's... what everybody, all the listeners, all you guys, should take that. Be you, the antisocial. You're not conforming to society. You're not fucking da-da-da-da-da. You're not in the same style and whatever. You are you, right? That's the passion, right? That's you. You love what you do, da-da-da. This is the area you're going to play in. You're going to eat. You're going to make fucking money, whatever the fuck you're doing. Because you know you, you're coming with the fresh life to own that fucking
market. Yeah, just put a new spin with it, everything.
Bang, bang!
Got you. All right.
So,
well, throughout the interview, you've been dropping jewels,
yes.
But we do want to leave off with some last words. You know, what's something that, aside from the passion, do you want to ingrain in our listeners' heads that are trying to, like, follow through with their main agenda in life?
Don't ever give up. I think that's it. Keep climbing. And keep going and keep moving. Again, that's, I've been saying it, right? Keep moving.
Yeah.
So, practice what you preach. You say one shit, you finish it, on to the next one. Keep moving. Keep getting more interviews, better people, greater people, you know? That's it. Just keep fucking moving.
So, let the people know your social media handles, websites, and how they can reach you. They want to follow you.
Google me, fuckers.
I knew he was gonna say that. If you wanna find me, Google me, bitch.
It's true.
Okay. All right. Well, you already know each and every week we dropping the coolest podcast in Miami. It's your girl Jess Finn.
And it's your girl Vina Nine.
Tams, baby.
And we out.
Bye-bye.